This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran to be conscious of him when he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ O you who believe, have the taqwa of Allah, be conscious of Allah, the way that Allah azza wa jal is worthy that you are conscious of him, and do not die except in a state of submission. Dear Muslims, we are all aware that the first revelations of the Quran in chronological order were Surah Iqra, and then Surah Muddathir, and then Surah Muzzammil. This is the chronology that is accepted and found in all of our source books of Seerah and of Tafsir. Let us briefly examine the psychology, the reality, the impact of these three revelations. And of course, each of these revelations, only the first few ayat came down. And see what was the plan, what was the methodological output that was intended by the revelation of these three specific surahs. If you look at the first of them, Iqra, and I'm sure you have all studied the tafsir of Iqra, given khutbas, have heard khutbas about Iqra. Iqra was one of the most amazing and frankly atypical revelations in a society that was illiterate, in a society that was 99% illiterate, in a land and a city where barely a dozen people could read and write. The first word of the revelation was, read, Iqra. And our Prophet ﷺ responded, I don't know how to read. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jibreel went back to him, I don't mean read, meaning from a book, I mean read something. But what can you read when you're illiterate? He is a Nabi al-Ummi. How can you read when you don't have a book, you don't have a scroll? So in his case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, your reading will not be a reading from a book. Your reading will be a recitation. Iqra bismi rabbik. You shall recite from your Lord, through your Lord, by the power of your Lord. You shall recite directly from Allah. You don't need a book. You don't need scriptures to read in front of you. Your recitation will be linked directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your qira'ah will be bismi rabbik. Your qira'ah will be through Allah, via Allah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iqra' bismi rabbik alladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaqin. Iqra' wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi allama bil-qalam. Two times iqra' is mentioned. Two times Iqra is mentioned. The first of them, Iqra, from your Lord, through your Lord. This is the Qira'ah of the religious sciences. This is the Qira'ah of the knowledge, Qira'ah of the sacred religion, reciting and reading and contemplating the book that Allah has sent down. And the second time, Iqra, and your Lord is the most generous, who taught men the knowledge of the pen and who taught men what they do not know. This is the knowledge of the secular, the knowledge of the sciences, the knowledge of history, the knowledge that men have done, and Allah has facilitated that knowledge. Allah taught them what they do not know, and they recorded this knowledge that they could not have known unless Allah allowed them to do so. So in Iqra, we learn of two types of knowledge. And that sets the stage for the rise of Islam. It sets the stage for what this religion is about. How does one begin anything? You begin everything through knowledge, through learning, through acquiring that which you did not know. Knowledge is indeed power. Whenever you want to do something, and that's why this society that we live in, indeed it is obsessed with knowledge. When their ancestors 1,000 years ago did not like knowledge, they wanted the people to be ignorant, but they realized knowledge is power. And so the Western world has gone a different trajectory, and they have emphasized the second type of knowledge, the knowledge of this world. We are told as Muslims, two types of knowledge go hand in hand. The knowledge of the deen deen, اقرأ بسم ربك, and the knowledge of this world, اقرأ وربك الأكرم. So that's why the religion of Islam began to ascend to power. Within a century, the Arabs controlled, the Muslims controlled all of mankind. Within a century of Iqra coming down, barely 100 years had gone by, and Muslim civilization became the dominant civilization of the globe. It ruled all the way from China to North Africa and Spain, and it began to produce intellectual output in every single field of human knowledge and of sacred knowledge that impacted the globe, and we're all aware of this. How did it get to that stage? How could a society that was so backward that neither the Sassanid Empire nor the Byzantine Empire even cared to conquer it, within 100 years conquer both of those empires and conquer the entire world? Iqra, through the knowledge of qira'ah, the knowledge of both the divine and the knowledge of that which is secular. So this is the first revelation. And in that revelation, Allah Azza wa Jal tells the Prophet ﷺ, and through him, all of us, we begin every journey. Anything you want to do, the first thing you do, you learn about it, you study it. And that's what we do when we go to university. That's what we do when you gain a new job. We go through training, we go through career orientation, and we learn and acquire skills that we do not have. And as Muslims, the knowledge we attain of this dunya will always be in harmony with the knowledge of this religion. There is no clash between deen and science, and both revelations and both knowledges are from Allah. The one of them directly and the other indirectly. وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. So both knowledges are from Allah. However, the knowledge of the sacred is directly from Allah. And the knowledge of the secular, it is acquired. And some of it can be correct and some can be incorrect. So Iqra sets the stage for knowledge. That is the first revelation. What does the second revelation tell us? Ya ayyuhal muddathir. O you who is wrapped up comfortably. O you who is wrapped up in the cloak. That's not life. Life is not to remain simply reading and wrapped up. No, there's things you have to do. Ya ayyuhal muddathir. Qum, stand up. Get rid of that safety blanket. Get rid of that cloak. There must be action that comes from that knowledge. Once you know, do. Once you learn, act. Once you acquire, disseminate that knowledge and do something with it. So the second revelation of Muddathir is all about putting that acquired knowledge into practice. Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andhir, wa rabbaka fakabbir, praise your Lord in salah, wa thiyabaka fatahir, make sure you're ritually pure, wa thiyabaka fatahir, wa rujza fahjur, avoid idolatry, wa la tamnun tastakthir, perfect your akhlaq, and it goes on and on. So the second revelation is all about perfecting your actions, your amal. And that begins with your salah, with your tahara, with your ahkam of the sharia, with the laws of Islam, and it includes akhlaq and etiquette. وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرُ. It is all about your akhlaq and etiquette. Be noble with people, be generous with people, don't be stingy with people. So, once you have knowledge, that knowledge must be manifested in your actions, in your rituals, in your akhlaq, in your mu'amalat. Knowledge that is not manifested in actions becomes an evidence against us. We as Muslims do not acquire knowledge for the sake of knowledge. Knowledge is not the goal. Knowledge is not the end. Knowledge is the means. Knowledge is the conduit. And the actual goal is the implementation of that knowledge and to act upon it to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third revelation. Ya ayyuhal muzzammilu, قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوى مقيلا إن لك في النهار سبحا طويلا فاذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا. These verses were revealed. All of this is about spirituality, tahajjud, reading the Quran and dhikr. And this shows us the real thamara, the real produce of both knowledge and actions. Knowledge and actions put together should lead us to the ultimate product. And what is that? Raw spirituality. What is that? God consciousness, being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the two pillars upon which our religion is based is ilm and amal. And our scholars mention it is not a coincidence that ilm and amal have the same three-letter roots, ayn lam mim and ayn mim lam. They're meant to be intertwined. They're meant to stand together as two pillars. And ilm and amal should be acted upon together. If you have ilm without amal, that is a problem. It's a type of hypocrisy. If you have amal without ilm, that is a danger. And a lot of people who don't have ilm, but they think they have amal, end up causing more harm than good. They end up doing things that are harmful, painful, leading in the wrong direction. And this goes back to Surah Al-Fatiha, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. The maghdoob, they had ilm, but no amal. وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. The dhaleen, they had amal, but no ilm. They had actions, but not based upon knowledge. We are not like them, brothers and sisters. We are the ummah and wasatan, between those two extreme representations. We have ilm and amal put together, and when it comes together properly with the right balance and combination, it should produce the results. And what is that result? Spirituality, God consciousness. And it is mostly manifested, primarily manifested in Surah Al-Muzammil's realization that the ultimate actions of worship are private tahajjud and doing dhikr all the time and reading the Quran in the privacy of your house. These types of thamara, this type of fruit, is the result when you have combined between the proper education and the proper acting upon that education. Dear brothers and sisters, this simple reality of what our religion is, learn and then practice. And when you do that together, it should bring about a consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be our philosophy throughout our lives for all that we do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Quran. And may He make us of those who its verses they understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask Him, for He is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, the One and the Unique. He it is whom we worship, and it is His aid that we seek. He is the Lord of the oppressed, and He hears the prayer of the weak. As to what follows, dear Muslims, every few months, every few years, certain tragedies happen around the globe that we bring the attention of our congregants to. And subhanAllah, every single time, the list might be updated, but there's always a list. And this is the sunnah of Allah in this creation. There's always things going on. And today, I just wanted to shed a little bit of light about the realities of the Muslims, especially in India, and what is happening in that land, and the rise of the Hindutva, and the fact that, unfortunately, may Allah protect us and them, we are seeing the beginnings of genocide. We're seeing the beginnings of a time and a place and an era where if things continue as they are, there is the potential of a mass genocide. There is a group here in Washington called Genocide Watch, and they have a 10-step program of how genocide occurs. The 10th stage is to justify and to backtrack. Stage 9 is actual genocide. Stage 9 is actual genocide. 10, you sanitize history. You pretend it didn't happen. You cover it over. And according to this NGO, it's not a Muslim NGO, it's not a religious one, it's a secular one. Places in India have reached stage 8, and the rest of the country is stage 7. 7 and 8, one step away from all-out genocide. And unfortunately, this is not the only place that is happening. We are already seeing what is happening in the Xinjiang province, in Turkistan, we should call it. The Chinese call it Xinjiang. It is actually East Turkistan or Turkmenistan. In this region, unfortunately, our brothers and sisters are undergoing not a genocide, an ethnocide. What's the difference? A genocide wants to kill you as a human being. An ethnocide wants to kill your identity as a human being. And unfortunately, the Chinese government is getting away with it. And over 1 million people are systematically being denied, deprived. Their identities are being wiped away. The government wants to preserve their bodies and their children's bodies, but it wants to eliminate their Islam. And what we are seeing here, even according to the UN, it is the worst case of mass incarceration since World War II and since the Nazis did what they did in Germany and other places as well. We can talk about Kashmir, we can talk about Palestine for 75 plus years, and the list goes on and on. And my not mentioning other regions is not because I don't care about them, but because time is limited. And I want to remind myself and all of you, dear Muslims, perhaps we cannot stop the genocide of India. Perhaps we cannot solve the problems of our Turkestani brothers and sisters. But two simple points. Number one, the least we can do is to have our hearts connected to the Ummah. Because it will make us think differently. It will make us see things differently. It will make us prioritize things differently. Even if we cannot change the realities, make sure you are aware of the situation. Be connected to your kith and kin. This is your brother and sister. This is our ummah. These are the same people. Subhanallah, if Allah had willed, we would have been born there. And a lot of these places where these things are going on, nobody could have imagined 10 years ago this is happening. Nobody could have imagined 20 years ago this would be the reality. And yet it is happening. What is happening there might happen here or other places as well. So point number one, be connected. Have your heart and have your intellect and have your knowledge connected to those regions. Don't just gloss over the news. It's awkward, it's embarrassing, it's painful. Read it. Watch the videos of what's happening in those places so that your heart is affected, so that you feel connected, so that in the very, very, very least, you make dua to Allah to help them. Even if you can't do anything, at least make dua to Allah to help them. And this leads me to my second point, brothers and sisters. Wallahi, we are blessed and we are fortunate. Allah has given us so many blessings in this land where we are. Brutal reality, fact of the matter, the fact that you are sitting here right now and I am here right now, we are already in the top 1% of the globe. This is the reality. The fact that you are here right now, your food, your lifestyle, your standard of living, the food you have in your pantry, the amenities given to you, every one of us is already in the top 1%. Whether you understand it or not, 99% of the world would love to be where you are right now. And that is a fact. The least we can do, therefore, the least we can do is to show Allah we are grateful. The least we can do is to make sure our lifestyles conform to that blessing. The least we can do is to be extra generous with our time, our freedoms. Nobody is going to stop you from praying. Do you understand what's happening to our brothers in China right now when they try to pray? When their cousin or relative goes for Umrah, they are arrested. When their grandmother's wearing hijab, the granddaughter is taken into jail. How much is happening there? And here we have the freedoms to dress as we please, pray as we please, do as we please. Thank Allah for those freedoms and then show Allah that I am appreciative by doing those things. We talked about ilm and amal. We talked about tazkiyah. We talked about spirituality. What is coming between you and amal? What is coming between you and spirituality? Nothing other than my nafs and your nafs. That's it. You are the impediment to your own progress. So then take advantage, overcome your own soul and ego, because most of our brothers and sisters have much more to worry about than their own souls and egos. Be generous with your time, with your du'as, with your money. Do what you can. Raise political awareness. And I know it's a struggle. I know it seems to be a never-ending battle. What can I possibly do to help the Muslims of India or China or Rwanda or Burma, or then the list goes on and on. And the end of the day, Allah's not going to ask me, did I solve the entire problem? But Allah will ask me, did you do something? Something. Did you change one person's perspective? Did you make dua? Did you give to one charity for the Syrian refugees, for the Kashmiri orphans? Whatever you could give, did you do that? And if we can answer to that, oh Allah, yes, I tried. Perhaps in that effort is our salvation. And if we don't have an answer to that, what will we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, brothers and sisters, be connected to the ummah. Be connected to the globe around us. Be aware of what is going on. And allow that awareness to impact you. Allow that awareness to affect you spiritually and emotionally. Allow that awareness to help you prioritize your own life in your own personal schedule. And perhaps in that attempt to rectify ourselves is our salvation in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. Allahumma la tad'a fi hal yawmi dhamman illa ghafarta. Wala hamman illa farajta. Wala daynan illa qadayta. Wala maridhan illa shafayta. Wala asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma gfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman. Wala taj'a fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu. Rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائلا عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يجد لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر، وأقم الصلاة.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضاي.